What's up, listeners? Want to apologize in advance. I didn't realize till after we got done recording the pod that my mic wasn't fully plugged in, so I recorded my entire audio through my iPhone microphone. So my audio is not great, but I hope you can forgive me and you'll still tune in next week. I'll be better, I promise. Okay, on today's pod, we'll start by very briefly bidding farewell to the four NFL teams who lost out in the wildcard round. But more importantly, we are here to give you the definitive Adam Sandler movie rankings. Let us know if you agree, if you disagree, and what movies we missed. Lastly, we will make our divisional round picks, and since the Saints lost, we will repick this year's Super Bowl. Let's do it.
Oh, back to school, to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up. My boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight.
Woo!
Woo, 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 woo!
We are back.
We back.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rookie Show. A what up coin.
A what up Noel.
I am your host, Travis Noel, joined with me, as always, Mr. 503 himself, Elvis Coin. How you doing, Coin?
Dale. Pretty damn good, Noel. Feeling good. It's raining a lot here. I feel like last year when I was up here in Portland, it wasn't raining like this, and now I'm getting the full effect of the seasonal depression disorder up here.
So, like, last summer you went home and you're like, yeah, it's really not that bad. Like, Portland doesn't, like, rain that much.
Yeah, really. That's what it did.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into it. I know we were going to talk, but since we're
Iran versus America, that's this podcast, right?
we're going to save the Iran versus America comments till the end of the pod.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll let you know who I'm picking in the war.
We rank our top two countries in the America versus Iran war.
What's the line? Are we favorites?
America minus 2,800? I don't know.
Oh, wow. 2,800 what?
Ruples. I don't know what they use in the Middle East, to be honest with you.
Well, it's not currency. It'd just be points is what we're talking about.
That's a good point.
So
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, we're going to not talk about that at all on the podcast.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
We're gonna do a quick little rundown of football, but we'll get to the meat of the pod a little bit later. I think the listeners will much enjoy it. I did just watch the first episode of Jeopardy: Greatest of All Time, which I know you're looking forward to watching in an hour and a half. The only comment I'll give is I haven't been watching live Jeopardy in a long time. I've just been watching the older ones on Netflix, and Alex is not looking that great. Unfortunately.
I'm so bummed out.
He's really bummed out to see that. He's got cancer, right?
It's like stage 4 cancer.
Yeah,
like he's not beating this one.
No. But I'm glad he can't do the
Magic Johnson money injection.
Is there some way at the end of this tournament they can like award him with the GOAT trophy or whatever it is? Just flip it on him?
I feel like that's like something that they are really considering doing. I think this is more or less the Alex Trebek farewell show.
It's his swan song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Incredible
speaking
host.
Of, they, speaking of obituaries.
Ah!
that's more.
What a segue.
I'm sorry, Alex. we'll real quick go through the four wildcard games in the NFL. It was a very, very wild wildcard weekend. We have four more teams to eliminate. What were your thoughts?
It was indeed wild. Two overtime games. All of the games were actually pretty good. If you can say the Eagles-Seahawks game was good, I guess it was close. I wouldn't say it was a good game.
I was all pissed that the Saints lost, so I didn't really enjoy watching that game. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's start then with we'll go in order of how they were played. So let's start with Bills-Texans. A crazy-ass game. What would you give as an obituary or closing thoughts for the Buffalo Bills?
So I wanted to do something with the Hot Wings for a minute. So I was like a city. So they're in the playoffs, so I was going to go a city as hot as the Wings for which they were named.
It's kind of a play on the Blades of Glory quote. But I think what I want to do is kind of more aimed towards the Pats being done. So, like, that it's a positive for the future. Like, the Pats' Death Star finally took the final blow. So that's my obituary.
What does that have to do with the Bills, though?
It's their future being bright.
Okay. But are you going to have... Is that your obituary for the Pats or the Bills?
That's my obituary for the Bills.
I don't understand at all.
So it's... Imagine the Death Star blows up and that's the Bills' future. That's
bright. Okay. So you have no negative comments on the Bills? It's all positive.
Yeah, there was also some thoughts about maybe the rocket arm not being the hero that's foretold, but I'm going to let the Bills just enjoy this one for now.
My Bills obituary is Josh Allen. Oh no, baby, what is you doing? Because he does some dumb shit on the football field, and it was so much fun to watch, but it was hilarious.
I don't know if I've ever seen two worse plays back-to-back than those two sacks he took.
Oh, my gosh. So bad.
I couldn't believe that actually happened in a real game. I was looking at the field, I was like, there has to be a flag, right? That couldn't have really happened.
No, it happened. Oh, it happened for sure. Not good, Josh.
It definitely happened. He looked really, really bad. How about him pitching the ball on that one run?
That was so incredible, and like my favorite part about that is the view that shows the guy that he pitched it to, like total panic, like he throws his arms in the air, like yeah. What are you doing? It's incredible.
Oh yeah, for some reason it feels like they zoomed in on that dude's face when he did it, and like you could see the panic like through his face mask and everything. He flipped around so quickly and dove on the ground.
I wonder if there's guys that would have like just done a total eye roll, you gotta be shitting me, and then there's some guys that are just total like panic mode. What would your reaction be in the moment, do you think?
I feel like it would have been pretty close to whatever that tight end did, like freaking out. Yeah. And then turn around and try to bat the ball as hard as I could.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was a good play by him.
I feel like somebody like Odell probably would have just let it go though. And just been mad that Josh Allen made a bad play.
Or Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. Just be like, fuck this guy. We should lose. All right, let's go to the next game, which is Patriots-Titans. The Patriots dynasty. Is it over?
Yes. I'm finally feeling confident, and I feel like it's over. This is it.
I hope so. I'm sick of watching them. But I don't want Brady to leave, necessarily. Do you want to see Brady on another team?
No. My whole thing has been that Brady isn't that good. I kind of want him to go to another team and do terrible.
Oh, okay. So you want him to stay so that the Patriots can fail?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
I can see that. All right, do you have an obituary for them?
I haven't thought of it yet. You do yours first.
I don't really have one either, except I just wanted to point out, like, how is this even possible, the Titans beating the Patriots in New England in the playoffs? Back in October, the Tennessee Titans were 2-4, and they had just lost to the Broncos 16-0.
What?
And just, I don't know if anyone remembers that team that was just floundering with Marcus Mariota. The Patriots, meanwhile, their first seven games, they were 7-0. They were scoring 32 points a game and giving up 7 points a game. They had given up 3 offensive touchdowns in the first 7 weeks. Like, this looked like an alt. I mean, I know everybody on every sports show, wanted to compare them to the greatest defenses of all time. But like if you had said in October that, hey, yeah, Tennessee's going to go into New England and win on wild card weekend, that would have been the most ridiculous claim that anyone's ever made.
Yes, absolutely. And especially if you had said that it was because the Titans made the switch from Marcus Mariota to Ryan Tannehill, and that was
exactly
it.
Yes, that's a fantastic point, because I had no faith in Ryan Tannehill whatsoever. Right.
I didn't realize until I was looking at the stats of the game today that he only threw for 74 yards in the win. Yeah. I hope I'm not stepping on any rookie show research for you. Is this part of your rookie show or your stump town question?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I did a search on quarterbacks with under 100 passing yards to win a playoff game.
Oh, okay.
And start. So they had to start the game, finish it, whatever. And two were tied for last with 34 total passing yards. One was Bob Greasy back in the 70s. The other one happened in 2010. Do you want to guess who?
2010. I'm going to go with Brad Johnson.
Joe Flacco.
Of course it was Joe Flacco. Yeah, exactly. Son of a bitch.
And not only did he pass for 34 yards, they beat the Patriots like 31-17 or something like that. How do you score 31 points when your quarterback throws for 30 yards? I don't understand.
That's amazing. They had great defense, I think. Probably Ray Lewis, right?
Yeah. I decided that I inspired myself, and I am going to go with the Patriots obituary being a loss as sweet as the town pie for which the loss as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was made. Named God. I'm all over myself right now.
Struggled through that one. Shout out Blades of Glory, though. So.
Shouts Blades of Glory.
Okay, good. Let's move on. We'll make these a little quicker. Saints, Vikings. Vikings go into New Orleans and win. What is your Saints obituary?
My Saints obituary is another tough playoff loss for the Big Easy and Breezy.
That's sad.
Yeah. 3 years in a row, pretty heartbreaking losses.
Yeah, I feel like after every single one, you think, how do you come back from that and rebound the next year? And they, like, pretty much have. They've had two, 12, 13 win seasons in a row. And then just another heartbreaking loss to Kirk Cousins.
At the hands of Kirk Cousins, that one's really tough for the all-time touchdown leader to lose a playoff game to Kirk Cousins.
Well, think about it this way. The last 3 years, they've lost to Case Keenum, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's tough.
That was when we thought Jared Goff was good, but he's not good.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That was at the peak of that Rams offense, so you can't really fault them, but still, it's Jared Goff. History is not going to be kind to this 3-year playoff stretch.
No. My Saints obituary is simply, you like that!
Go Kirky, my buddy.
I'm really bummed that I didn't bet on the Vikings so I couldn't root for my guy Kirky. That may be changing in the divisional round. All right, last game. That. Eagles, Seahawks. What's your Eagles obituary?
My Eagles obituary simply reads, Carson Wentz has mush brains.
There's been so much discussion about that hit and that concussion.
Yeah, it was dirty as fuck. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
he just speared him right in the back of the head.
It's like the definition of spearing. He was already going down, and he just like put his arms behind him and just led directly with the crown of his helmet. That's as dirty exactly. as it gets.
It's like one of those where you dive off the dock and have your hands at the at your sides and just do like a weird flip dive.
Exactly. Right, where you like fake dolphin dive?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can't do it. I just jump. I don't like diving off the dock.
That doesn't
surprise
me. I'm
not very good at it.
Remember when you dove off that one dock and you busted your knee open and it wasn't my fault?
Oh, when you pushed me off the dock into 2 feet of water? Yeah, I do remember that. I still have a gigantic scar from that.
You're welcome. Chicks dig scars.
My Eagles obituary is DK was catching passes, unlike Aguilar.
Okay.
Does that not ring a bell for you?
No, I don't remember.
Did you not see the video of the guy, the Eagles fan that was getting interviewed on the news like a couple months ago?
I do remember the video. I can't remember what his voice sounds like, so I'm sorry.
Okay, well, if you haven't heard it and you're a listener, there was a guy who was being interviewed for saving a bunch of kids from a burning building, and he was right. saying, yeah, there were people dropping the babies out of the window, and we was catching them. And then he looks at the camera and goes, unlike Aguilar. And then just because the Eagles had just lost a game that day, it's like he broke from his heroic press conference just to slight Aguilar for dropping passes in the Eagles game. That's a true Philadelphia fan.
That is right there. True, true fandom, and I honestly applaud every second of it.
Yeah, so I like that. Anyway. All right, that is our recap. We're going to get to... I don't know if you want to talk about how we did on our bets. I went 2-2 according to what I said. I picked all the favorites on the pod.
Right. I guess I went 1-2-1, right? With the Bills being a push.
Oh, see, I always had the Texans -2.5 is what I saw. But was it 3?
I think I had it at -3.
All right, well, you get it at 3, and I get it at 2.5. So I'll take the win, and you can take the push. That's sick. All right, sweet. All right, we're going to turn it around. We're late bloomers, and in the divisional round, we're going to bloom.
Yeah, we're blooming.
Let's transition from the NFL. I think we've got a sponsor, or we've got an ad read, or maybe something you'd like to read for the listener.
I have a movie read.
this is an upcoming film?
Yeah, this is a new movie coming out here in February. I think it's coming out. So we're starting with a young kid, and he's in a really poor neighborhood, and he's like getting in a lot of trouble, and he's because he's really insecure. But the kid is a football prodigy.
Oh.
He slings the ball like a maniac. I mean, he's balling. He ends up getting chosen to go to one of the special high schools, like the private high schools where you have to get scholarships for academics, and they like move your family, and it's like pretty shady. It's like what Eastside Catholic does.
Okay.
So he has trouble fitting in right away, and he's getting teased and bullied a lot, and it all stems from him being uncircumcised. He's the only kid in the whole school who's uncircumcised, and it really weighs on him, and he acts out, and he gets in trouble for stealing various shellfish from Safeways. Eventually, the other kids see that he's so good at football and so exciting, even though he gives weird-ass pump-up speeches, that they accept him, and they're all friends, regardless of his penis hood situation. Do you know what the movie's called?
No, tell me, please. What's it called?
It's called Uncut Jameis.
Oh my god. When I told you earlier I might have an idea of what you're going to say, that was...
Is that
not
what you thought
what
it was
going to
be?
No, not at all.
He's uncut because he's uncircumcised. Do you get it?
Yeah, no, thank you. I got it. I like this, the in... accidental play on words when you said his uncircumcised penis really weighed him down. Wow, that's disgusting. All right, well, I'm looking forward to the premiere of Uncut Jameis coming to a theater near you.
That's right, Uncut Jameis.
Speaking of Uncut Jameis, there's another movie that just came out called Uncut Gems. Have you seen it?
I have not, but that was a segue and a half. You're welcome.
It was. It was a perfect segue from football into Adam Sandler movies. Uncut Gems, I did see, and I'll let you know if it's in my top five. We're going to give you a rundown pretty much how we did the Will Ferrell movies. Go through the notable films of Adam Sandler's career and give you the definitive top five. Are you ready for this, Coin?
I'm ready for this. I did make a couple notes just right off the top. This one might be in yours later. I was looking, so when I do my lists, I make them, and then I kind of look at what other lists had done online just to kind of see. And Punch Drunk Love was at the top of a lot of online lists.
Really?
I haven't seen that movie, I don't think, at least. Maybe I've seen parts of it.
Well, oh. I don't know why you would ruin my list like that, because it's number one for me, too.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man.
I'm just kidding. Say psych right now. Psych! I've never seen Punch Drunk Love, because fuck that.
Yeah, and I also just want to say I haven't seen Uncut Gems, unfortunately, but it feels like a movie that I will definitely love and was absolutely made for somebody like me, which is a huge bummer that I hadn't been able to see it yet. So, in that being said, go on.
Go on with the borophil.
Little teaser.
All right, so we'll break it down into some categories here. Let's start out with movies that I just now decided this category is called. We're ranking Adam Sandler movies, but this category is called Movies with Adam Sandler. Now, that is not that is not movies that have him in a cameo. That is movies that he starred in, but they're not really Adam Sandler movies. Adam Sandler movies have a certain feel to them, right?
For sure. For sure.
So first up is Punch Drunk Love.
Right, right. Okay.
The other two, which I have not seen, which are also relatively well received from critics, are Spanglish.
Right. I saw that when I was like a really little kid, and I feel like I didn't appreciate it, and I don't really care to give it another shot anyways.
Okay, then that's the only mention it's going to get. And then the next movie that has Adam Sandler in it is Rain Over Me. You seen that?
So I did have a note about this. That movie is actually really good. You haven't seen it?
Mm-mm.
So it's really dark. Really okay. Dark. I don't know if you know anything about it, but it's about this guy who like freaks out and loses it because his family's all killed in 9/11.
Oh.
It's like this really weird turn for Adam Sandler, but he does have this monologue in it that is very sad. However, not in my top five, obviously, because it's not an Adam Sandler movie.
Okay, good. So those were the three that are worth mentioning movies about Adam Sandler. The next category, and you can stop me at any point if you want to add or subtract from these. The next one is what I call presumably decent kids movies. That's this next category.
Okay.
Again, movies I have not seen. Bedtime Stories.
Keep going. Don't care about it.
Hotel Transylvania.
I will stop you there. Hotel Transylvania is a good movie. Okay. Like an elite animated movie and a very good kids movie. And, hold on. I have to find my note.
Not top five good, is it?
No, it's not now. No, it's not top five good. However, I did bond with my college Great White Buffalo over this movie. And she let me borrow it from her one time. And I presume me liking this movie is what eventually led to me conquering my Great White Buffalo. Conquering feels like the wrong word. I don't know how else to put it.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right. Let's go to the next presumably decent kids movie. Hotel Transylvania 2.
Okay. No thoughts.
And the next, Hotel Transylvania 3.
So this one's in my top five.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
All right. Lastly in this category is Pixels.
Honestly, a pretty good movie. Carried a lot by Peter Dinklage.
Oh, hell yeah. And you mean Miles Finch?
Miles Finch. And carried by your boy, Josh Gad.
Wait, why is Josh Gad my boy?
Josh Gad is definitely your boy.
I know, you're right.
Yeah. I feel like you've been a Josh Gad defender for the last 7 years.
I feel like I can't think of anything he's in other than Olaf.
He was in something else, and
he's in the original Broadway cast of Book of Mormon, so I fuck with that. I'll get behind
him. Oh, maybe that's what it stems from. I feel like there was a movie he was in, and I was like, who the fuck is that guy? And I remember you looking over me, and you're saying, that's Josh Gad. Show him some respect. It's like, what the fuck? Who's Josh Gad?
Pour one out for Josh Gad. Okay.
Is he dead?
No. The next category, we're just going to get it over with. The Bad Adam Sandler movies. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, so I want to rope all Netflix-produced Adam Sandler movies into this. Do you have any objections?
No. When I was making this list, I started it with movies that definitely didn't make it, and it was a sadly long list.
Yeah, I know. And I had them all listed, and I'm like, I just want to group them all together. So right. There are only three that I want to mention that are really just awful. And one of which is like a Razzie acclaimed Jack and Jill.
I have not and will not ever see this movie. I refuse to see it. It looks so bad.
I totally agree. And I'm still putting it in bad because it's got such bad reviews. So
yeah, of course. Go on.
Lastly in the bad is one of the top three worst movies ever made. None other than Grown Ups. How do you feel about this ranking?
I mean, it is off. I definitely don't hate Grown Ups as much as you. I feel like you opened my eyes to how bad it actually is. There's some redeemable parts. The only really good part I can think of is when the Canadian dude comes over and says, "Hey, what's up, ladies?" That's about it.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I saw it in theaters and haven't seen it since. All I know is Chris Rock just makes me so sad at how unfunny and just how pathetic he is in that movie. And just everyone's so bad. I hate it. I can't stand it. The first time when I went to see it in theaters, the first like 5 minutes of the movie, there was no audio for some reason. So one of my friends and I were making up what we imagined the lines to the movie would be. And like pretty much the whole theater could hear us. And that was 10 times funnier than anything that happened in the movie. It was the scene where all the kids are playing basketball, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, did you say you have three movies here or just two?
I also put Grown Ups 2 in here because, again, I assume I haven't seen it.
Right. Okay. Wait, so that was all the Netflix movies?
Yeah, all Netflix movies, Grown Ups 2, and Jack and Jill are in the bad category.
I just have to say that The Ridiculous 6 is maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay, good to
Mac,
know.
Mac made my entire family watch it over at Christmas one time, and we finished it, and everybody stood up and were like, "What the fuck, Mac?" My mom was like actually kind of mad at him. It was pretty funny.
It's tempting. It's got guys in it. They got dudes.
They got dudes.
I mean,
it's just not good.
For? Terry Crews. We'll get to him.
I don't
later.
Know what to tell you. Yeah.
All right. Okay. The next category is what I like to call worth mentioning. They are not quite good enough for honorable mentions, but they are worth getting mentioned. So I'll just go through them. If you have a comment, let me know. I'm going to put Click in worth mentioning.
It's worth mentioning. It's a fun movie. Kind of underrated. Sneaky underrated.
It's pretty sad. Adam Sandler is pretty legit drama actor in that.
Yeah. And his wife is Kate Beckinsale. She's hot as hell.
Okay, we're going to get to that theme here in a minute about Adam Sandler just putting himself with hot actresses. And
dumb respect this. This is so all
right,
sick.
Let's get into it right now because comparing these movies to Will Ferrell movies, I noticed that the underlying premise of just about every single Adam Sandler movie, it's like a love story. Like, there's and I know, like, Happy Gilmore and some of these where, like, there's a competition that he wins or whatever is technically the climax and the biggest part of the movie. But the love story is always very big focal point. When it comes to Will Ferrell movies, it's almost never. I can hardly think of any Will Ferrell movies where at least he is the one falling in love with someone. Or that's a key part of the story. Unless you consider Veronica Corningstone, which... that seems pretty secondary to me.
That's a very much a subplot. And in all Adam Sandler movies, the driving force is his goals with the woman.
And he always finds a new woman, and they're always very good looking. So it's not on accident.
No. No, it's similar to, I think Bradley Cooper does this too. He like writes movies where he picks a girl that he kind of wants to hook up with in a movie, and then he's like, "I'll write a movie for that."
Yeah, exactly.
I'll figure out the rest later, and I'm just going to cast the girl. Which is a big flex.
Big flex. And Adam Sandler, here's an interesting thing that I noticed. I was looking at the character names. Did you notice how many of the women in Adam Sandler movies have names that start with V?
Veronica, Vicky, I don't know
anymore. Not only their first name, but their last name. So Billy Madison, Veronica Vaughn.
Vaughn.
Is her name. Happy Gilmore, her name is Virginia Vennett.
Is it Vennett or Bennett?
No, it's Vennett. I looked it up.
Interesting.
It's a V-E-N-I-T. In The Waterboy, right. Vicky Valancourt.
Ah.
In Big Daddy, his first girlfriend's name is Vanessa, and her last name is not mentioned in the movie.
Okay.
And then finally in Little Nicky, the girl who he likes name is Valerie Varan. So this is not an accident.
That's weird. It's got to be something with the V being a very feminine signifier kind of thing.
I can't think of any words that are feminine that start with V, though.
I can't either. Let's move on.
All right. That was our love comments on Adam Sandler. So let's go a little quicker through these worth mentionings. I also have Little Nicky in here.
Right. This one, I was really torn. I kind of wanted to make it one of my honorable mentions. I had this friend when I was a kid, and I stayed over at his house probably like 3 or 4 times a week. We would watch Little Nicky every single night.
I just never got into it. It was hilarious.
We would watch WWF, and then we would finish it off with Little Nicky.
Wow. You guys sound really cool.
Yeah, it was dope.
That's it.
That's all I have to really say.
Okay. I also have one that you're probably going to have a lot higher. I'll get it. Actually, I'll leave it for later. How about Funny People? How do you feel about Funny People?
I had never even seen it. Don't care about that movie at all.
Let's move past it. It's sad. How about this one? That's My Boy.
Honestly, very high-level raunchy Sandler. The first time I saw this movie, I laughed really hard.
Okay. Is it an unmenchie or is it worth mentioning?
No. Just kind of worth mentioning. I don't even know if it ranks that high.
I'm a huge Andy Samberg guy. I don't know if he was good in that movie, but I like him.
See, that almost you could almost make the argument that's more of just a movie with Adam Sandler.
True. That's true, because he's sort of the main character. Yeah, I mean, he is, but it's kind of a different vibe. I imagine you have not watched the show This Is Us, because you don't have a girlfriend.
No. Well, I do have a girlfriend.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. Coin has a girlfriend. Sorry, ladies.
Breaking. Sorry, we stepped on the Coin's quest for love, but that's fine.
Can you name her? Does she listen to the podcast?
I don't know. I told her she couldn't, so she might. She might start listening to it.
Okay, we won't talk about her then. So in the show This Is Us, there's like the dad who is like the perfect dad and the perfect character and like the most like amazing guy ever. And the actor that plays him, his name's Jack in that show, is the guy that plays like the military brother in That's My Boy that's banging his sister. You remember that guy? And for the life of me, no matter how many... You'll recognize his face if you ever see it, but no matter how many episodes of This Is Us I watch, I can't get the thought of that guy out of my mind because it is such an absurd character and a disturbing character, and I hate it.
I gotta find out who he is. I need to know.
Okay.
Oh, Milo Ventimiglia?
Yes.
The dude from Heroes, right?
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Yeah, okay. The kind of short, dark hair, right?
Yes, yeah.
Or like longish.
Yeah. But I think he's I think he's a skinhead in That's My Boy.
Is he really?
I think so.
Yep, that's him. That's him.
All right. So that's cool. My thought on That's My Boy. How about, where do you put Mr. Deeds?
Mr. Deeds is in my honorable mentions.
Okay, let's wait, and if you can have comments when we get to that.
Okay.
How about The Wedding Singer?
We're going to wait for that one.
We'll wait on that one, okay?
Yeah.
And then lastly, Just Go With It. You seen that?
Yeah, I have that in my worth mentioning.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that now. He's like, let's just go to Hawaii. We'll get Jennifer Aniston. We'll get Brooklyn Decker. And they can just be in swimsuits. And we'll just go make a movie. So
yeah, you know who I haven't nice banged yet? Jennifer Aniston and Brooklyn Decker. Why not? Let me just make a movie with them.
Why not?
Absurd.
And Nick Swardson's in it, and Nick Swardson's hilarious, so.
It's pretty insane that, okay, this movie is actually okay, and if it's on TV, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll watch like 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous to think that this guy would be faking that Jennifer Aniston is his ex-wife and he's just not interested in her anymore, that he would just be going for Brooklyn Decker. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous premise.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Flawed. I have one really big nitpick in one of the movies coming up as well.
Okay.
And my last worth mentioning, which I'm sure you'll have higher, Eight Crazy Nights.
I do indeed have that higher.
Okay. So that's all. Do you, then why don't we'll just go to the on menchies, the honorable mention Adam Sandler movies.
Okay. Well, I feel like we haven't mentioned a pretty big one that is going to come up in your honorable mentions, and I'm shocked.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. So I have 10 left, essentially. I have 5 honorable mentions and 5.
You have 5 honorable mentions?
How many are you allowed?
I always thought we set it at like 2. No, you just do your thing, dude. Just do your
okay,
thing.
Okay, but last time where Will Ferrell, my top 5 was the top 7. So this time I actually have a top 5.
The rules don't apply to you.
All right, fine. Then I can shift. How many? Tell me how many on Menchies I get, and I'll shift a few.
No. Just do it. Just do it. I'm ready.
All right, this is probably the one, I'm guessing. Is it You Don't Mess With the Zohan?
No, but I almost made this an honorable mention, so go off. I love it.
Okay. It's just absurd. It's like probably the most absurd Adam Sandler movie. And for something like you talked about putting on TV and watching for 15 minutes, it's right. Like so ridiculous, but... what's his name? Buzzy Coco or something like that? And it's just Fluffy Coco. Ridiculous. Yeah. So I think it's honorable mention.
I do too. It's delightfully... I feel like when I was watching it the first time, I was like, oh my God, this movie's going to be so fucking dumb. And I finished it and I was happily surprised at how much I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect amount of ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't get like a famous ethnic girl for his... future. Like I don't know who that girl is.
No, I don't either. She's pretty
but helpful. I also don't know who he would get. Yeah. So yeah. How about this one? This is probably the one you're talking about then. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
This is absolutely what I was talking about. I thought that you would have hated this movie, to be honest, knowing you.
I kind of did hate the movie, but here's why it's an on menchie. One of my favorite lines in any Adam Sandler movie is okay. Not by Adam Sandler, not by Kevin James. It's by Dan Patrick.
Right, okay.
It is, oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak gay knees. And then he walks away.
amazing.
Amazing. The fact that that movie, I mean, there's no way that gets made now. But then again, another movie where he's just like, yeah, let's just get Jessica Biel and I'll grab her tits. And
That was my big note from this is that Jessica Biel after the rainstorm when she's changing, I was just like, holy shit. I never really realized how good looking Jessica Biel was, and then I was all I could think was, man, good for Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Well, good for him for everything. He's probably on my top 3 guys I would trade places with.
You think so?
What do you think your list is? You have 5 seconds. You have 5 seconds to decide though, and tell me your top 3.
Do I get their whole life? All right, Brad Pitt. I'm just telling you, Brad Pitt's number one.
Okay.
George Clooney. I don't know.
Okay, I'm going Justin Timberlake, Dwayne Johnson, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's a decent one. Let me get Bruno Mars for my 3rd one.
Oh, you like being short?
It's fine. I don't think it matters in his life.
Oh, yeah, he's got pipes, though.
Yeah.
He can croon. Sing.
Yeah, he can croon. All right.
Okay.
Moving on.
Now we're getting into some solid ones. Next on Menchie for me is Anger Management.
Great movie.
Great movie. It's a solid movie. I'll watch it for sure if it's on TV. Adam Sandler's not peak awesome, but it's got a good plot. It's a fun plot, and Jack Nicholson's great.
That's why it didn't quite creep into my on menchies. I had it in this section I called Close But No Cigar.
That's a good title.
The best scene in the entire movie. I don't know. Did you write down any parts of the movie that you really liked? Oh, you did?
No, I was just imitating one, but go ahead.
Okay. Oh, that one. Yeah, the gif of Jack Nicholson doing that. Yes.
Yeah, it created one of the best gifs of all time.
Yeah. But the scene when they're in the car and they do the I Feel Pretty sequence is really, really good. And then Woody Harrelson gets in as the male prostitute. And then he's like, I feel like dancing. And he's like rubbing his face with the wand and stuff. And then they tell him to get out. And he's like, all right, you guys are a couple of freaks. I really love that scene.
Yes, I love that scene. My friend Derek and I used to quote that all the time. He goes, he goes, that's okay because I am a lady. And then he peeks under his skirt and goes, oops, no, I'm not. yes, so good. Love that, love that.
All right, what do you got next?
Next, I'm going to go with Uncut Gems. I know you haven't seen it, but it's solid. It did not make the top five. It's a wild movie. It's really frustrating to watch a super-duper degenerate guy like that manage his life. But it's fun. The gambling part's fun. I probably won't go out of my way to like see it again, but if it's on, I'll watch it. It's probably got the second most F-words of any movie I've ever seen to Wolf of Wall Street. But it's good.
Good.
So I'll move on because you don't have any comments on that. All right, my last on Menchie goes to, and this is a controversial pick here. I'm gonna go Billy Madison. Did not make my top five.
Okay. I honestly don't hate you for it.
Okay.
Do you have anything to say about it? I mean, it's in my top five unless you want to save it.
We'll wait till your top five.
Okay, so we are going to end up having three of the top five in the same, just so you know.
So you have... Yeah, okay. I think I know...
So can I do my honorable mentions? I do. So this one's probably going to be your top five then. 50 First Dates?
Yeah, you can save that.
Okay. And then... So Mr. Deeds. Can I do my Mr. Deeds rundown really quick?
Yes, do Mr. Deeds. Okay. Yeah.
So Mr. Deeds is one of my honorable mentions. I really, really like this movie. I think it's really lighthearted and good all the way through. There's a lot of really good key scenes. When Steve Buscemi is in jail and he brings him the Oreo pizza and he tells them that he's in jail because he attacked the mailman because he thought he was trying to cast a spell on him. And then he's like, oh, maybe he was just waving. That's really good. There's the scene when he's at dinner with all the rich people and the fat dude goes, genius, genius, genius. We say that as much as maybe any other quote in Adam Sandler film or cinematography.
Yes, definitely.
The Hawaiian Punch drinking fountain is a genius idea.
Yep.
I want that. And the last thing I'll say is, I am very sneaky, sir, is a highly used, like a subtly used quote by me.
That dude, I don't know his name, but he's a great bit piece in a lot of movies.
Butler guy. Yes, he is.
My Mr. Deeds quote is, or thoughts, is that I will never forget Winchesterton Fieldville. I don't know why. How could you?
That is my other note. I was going to leave it off because I thought we had talked about it too much, but yes, that's my other note.
I was going to agree that Crazy Eyes is definitely the best in that movie. One thing I realize in looking at these movies is they use the same mugging joke or kind of joke as 50 First Dates, where she's getting mugged and the guy tries to run away and Adam Sandler ends up beating the shit out of him and it kind of backfires on him a little bit. They do the exact same thing in 50 First Dates. So I don't know which movie came first, but I'm like, okay, you kind of just recycling that gag a little bit.
That's a good question. I don't even know. Let's see. I bet, if you had to bet, I would imagine 50 First Dates came first.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm pretty positive. 50 First Dates was like, I think I looked, it's like 05 or 04.
04.
Mr. Deeds is when?
Mr. Deeds is from 2002. Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So 50 First Dates recycled.
We stand corrected.
Yeah. 50 First Dates executed a little better, I think. That's one of my favorite scenes, but we'll get to that. And then what other on mentions do you have?
I do have The Waterboy as an on mention, but is that in your top five?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay, we did it. We got through in about half an hour. We got through the non-top five Adam Sandler movies.
Not bad.
Who do you want to go first? And we'll go 5-1.
I'll go 5 because you already mentioned it.
Okay.
My number 5 is 8 Crazy Nights.
This
honestly has become, over the last few years, one of my favorite holiday movies. Me and my brother watch it every single year. I will defend this movie to the death. It's really good, and the emotional scenes in this movie hit hard. I cry. I cry in this animated movie. All the song, so Sandler does the voices for like the three main characters. He does both himself and then the two old people, Whitey and Eleanor. And I don't know how he does his voice for, like, you saw the entire way. It's like a little difficult. That really hurts my voice just to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amazing soundtrack has Technical Foul, the song Bum Bitty. I don't know. You've seen the movie, I assume. The Bum Bitty 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 Bum Bum. And the Hanukkah song, which I definitely know every single word to.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. And I'm a big musical guy, so I could get behind that.
Yeah. Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider, obviously, the MVP, the all-time GOAT of Adam Sandler movie cameos.
Yep.
He's doing this next-level bad Chinese accent. Hey, you know, pay for a four scorpion bowl. And then for my quotes, all I have is, that's a technical foul. From Whitey. And then he does the... I have to do the voice here, because it's much funnier in the voice. My finger's in your mouth, kitty, but I don't feel your teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's all I have for 8 Crazy Nights. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I don't. I my closing thoughts are I'm going to rewatch it.
Okay. It's a good movie.
Okay, good.
All right, what's your 5?
My number 5, which Billy Madison challenged for 5, but I'm going with Big Daddy at number 5. I know this is Nate Heinrich's favorite movie.
Shouts, Nate.
To piggyback on what you just said, Rob Schneider is key in this movie. He is incredible as the delivery guy. He kind of makes the movie. I would say both Zach and Cody do a very good job as the son in this movie. It's a good combo of like Adam Sandler not being too over the top, but also having a good supporting cast, and it's a nice balance. And this is definitely a pretty damn far-fetched idea that somehow this guy can just like steal this kid.
He's like, yeah, I'm Kevin. It's, what's yeah. up?
But I'm kind of glad at the end that they decide, okay, yeah, he doesn't get to keep the kid. I think that it ended well where he can still have the relationship. So... my quotes, probably the one I use the most, maybe of any quote in this entire podcast, is, hell yes!
Right.
Which is the homeless guy in the courtroom at the end.
Yes.
One of the best from Rob Schneider is when he's trying to learn how to read, and of course he goes, fish? Pony? Hip-hop anonymous? That's a classic all-timer.
I always forget he says pony in the middle.
Pony?
Between hip and hip.
Yep. A great line is when he finds out that his girlfriend is sleeping with a really old guy, and she tells him that she tells him that he has a 5-year plan, and he said, what is it? Don't die?
Exactly. It's so good.
Of course, the two lines, two of the lines from the kid that are great is when he's in McDonald's and he asks him what he wants to eat, and he says, Cheerios. So they don't got that. What else do you want? Lasagna. Which you can use at any restaurant, anytime you want. And then lastly, there's a million more, but I'll go with, I wipe my own ass.
Right. Right. A great. This is perfect. So, Big Daddy's my 4. So... this is perfect.
Good. Oh, good.
I have all those quotes down, and then I have, I also just want to say, same as you with Colin Dylan Sprouse, or Zach and Cody. This is our launching point.
That's right.
IMDb actually has him listed as Julian Frankenstein McGrath, which I like that they included Frankenstein in there.
That's awesome.
And then a couple of the extra quotes I have is, Scuba Steve, damn you!
Almost
and
put
then,
that.
Anytime I'm holding cards, I'll do the, I have a 6, a 5, a jack, a 4, and an 8. I win.
Yes.
And then, same courtroom scene. I've had a few Chardonnays. What of it?
Yep.
And then if I drop something, the classic, Microsoft went down 3 points.
Yes. Great additions. Yeah. Those are all fantastic quotes.
Yep.
There you go. So, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy's also my four, or my four, and your five. What's your four, Noel?
Okay. My four is 51st Dates, which I think is probably higher than most people would have it. A little bit of sentimental value here. I distinctly remember watching this movie many times in the backseat of Kenji's mom's Suburban, because they were like the first ones to have the TV screens in the back of the Suburban, and that was one of the DVDs that was in there. So sentimental value there, of course. Here's a question for you.
What's up?
If you could replace Drew Barrymore, which I know you would if you could, with any other actress in this movie, and I'm going to allow you to go with any age, assuming that she fits the age. Not doesn't have to be she fit the age in 2004. It could be someone that could fit the age now. Who would you go with? And before you answer, I'll tell you the correct answer. How much better is 51st Dates if it's Adam Sandler and Jennifer Lawrence?
Worse.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know. I think this answer surprises you a little bit.
What? Do you like Drew Barrymore in this, or you just don't like my pick?
I don't like J-Law that much. I think she's kind of a little cold-hearted and bitchy to be in an Adam Sandler movie, whereas Drew Barrymore, I definitely don't find her that attractive, but she does play well with Sandler. Like, as much as I would like to replace her looks-wise in most movies, she plays well with Sandler. However, who could this be? Because it feels like she can't be too good-looking.
What about Anne Hathaway?
No.
What?
No chance.
Okay, I think I'll just go fuck myself.
What about like Eva Mendes?
She's gorgeous. What do you mean?
Yeah, I know she's gorgeous, but that's like not like supermodel looks, you know?
I don't think I'm buying Eva Mendes.
The fire alarm in my apartment just went off.
For what? Someone cooking?
Come on, Leah.
All right. Well, let's continue with 51st Dates. The another one where Rob Schneider killed it. Some quotes I have is he's doing like a Hawaiian accent. Sharks are like dogs. They only bite when you touch their private parts.
He's absolutely right.
And then probably my personal favorite is when he's in the scene where he's faking beating up Adam Sandler, and Adam tells him to just like make up some lines. So he says, "Come to our island, eat our pineapple, banging all women, making my sister clean your hotel room." yeah, it's great.
Rob Schneider just brings the heat in all these movies, man. He's so good.
He's got a million other lines in this movie. And then obviously Sean Astin, Rudy, has wet dreams in this movie, so that's good too.
the side story of Sean Astin wearing this mesh shirt and being this half-assed bodybuilder where he has to tell people he's not on the juice is like such a funny thing to me.
I know. It's ridiculous. I love it.
The casting of both Sean Astin and the dad is very, very good. Like, they're really good.
Yeah. The dad is, like, the most sane role he's ever played versus, like, Farmer Fran and, like, these guys that don't know English.
Oh, dang, he killed him. I would say that this is maybe... So I didn't put it in my top five, but you could probably argue to me that this is a top five all-time TV movie. Like, I'd be comfortable jumping into this movie at any point, like, while it's on TV, and I'll just sit down and finish the rest of it.
You can pretty much don't have to edit anything for TV. It's pretty mild in terms of the humor. Yeah, it's solid. You can jump in and watch it.
Yep.
Okay, let's hear number three for Coin.
Number three for me is, indeed, Billy Madison.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, first note I have is that the box set of Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore is incredible.
Yeah.
Did you have that when you were a kid?
No, I didn't have either movie. I'm a loser.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I remember getting that from a Walmart bin. It was like $8 in this Walmart bin, and Tom, who is my stepdad, is very frugal usually, was like, "Oh, hell yeah, throw that in there." It's like, we're getting that.
The two of them.
Yeah. It's the little things. A lot of the little things in this movie, like the subtle looks from, you got Chris Farley in there throwing subtle looks. Even the little kids are really, really good in this movie.
Yep.
For sure. The quotes are really underrated. Like, the kid plays very well that he can't read. There's the weird-ass kid that's eating glue in, like, Miss Lippy's class. The Ernie, the weird kid when he pisses his pants, it's all very good. The Gold Rush teacher lady, or, like, the field trip. I don't know what you'd call
it. Oh, yeah.
She's good. Yeah. This is Sandler being even more stupid than he normally has to be in movies, which is wild that that's a thing. He normally plays like a pretty dumb, lovable guy, but he is like next level stupid in this movie.
But this is really his first movie, and I think that's why he just totally like put it over the top, and then he realized later he could scale it back a little bit.
Right. This one of the things I like about this movie is that it jumps into it very quickly. Like, you know exactly what you're getting. So they go straight from Nudie Magazine Day to him fighting with the shampoo and conditioner in the shower to him eating soup at the table and, like, doing gibberish yelling across the table at Eric. And then one of the things, so I mentioned Chris Farley as the bus driver in this movie. So he's one of Sandler's best friends, and this was one of the last movies he filmed before he died. Did you know that the last credited movie to Chris Farley is Almost Heroes?
I did know that in my research. Did? I did find that, which is probably, if we do a ranking of most underrated movies of all times, might be number one.
For you?
Yeah.
That's fair. Or just for everybody. It has to be number one.
I decided it's one for everyone.
Okay. So I have my quotes written down. Are you ready?
Yes.
Did you see that guy's balls? Yeah, they were weird looking. I say that one a lot. Hey, Carl, so nice to see you. And he comes in when he's hooking up with Veronica Vaughn. Yep. The whole Chris Farley, Veronica Vaughn is one nice piece of ace.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. And, of course, this is also one of our most used quotes. We used it earlier, is the go on with the borophil.
Yeah, go on with the borophil has been used in the pod many, many times. That Chris Farley one ends with good, great, grand, wonderful.
Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So I left a bunch of quotes off here. Obviously, there's a ton. We're going to punch you in the face with quotes in a little while.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that the entire debate board at the last end of the competition is so goddamn funny. There's like four squares where the guy reads off about his wife being a tramp, like my wife, the tramp, burning dog poo and the human response business ethics. He's like, my wife is sleeping with other people. It's just, he goes on so casually mentioning those. It's so funny to me.
It is. It's an awesome movie. This is my one nitpick, is when he pulls his boot out of the pot as if he had just created a boot. Like, come on. Like, come on. That's the
they gloss over
in
that.
Any Adam
they
Sandler
gloss
movie.
Over that so fast.
They're like, oh, wow. Great job. Unbelievable. This was close to my top five. I just felt, you know, I liked Happy better, and they're very similar movies, so I gave that the nod. And then Eric is a great name for a bad guy, and he does a nice job being a weaselly bad guy, but he doesn't compare to the bad guy in Happy Gilmore.
Totally agree. Couldn't agree more.
So,
all right. Go on.
I will go number three. Again, another movie that I have way higher than 99% of people in the world, and that is The Longest Yard.
Whoa.
Yeah, you didn't even know that was on the list.
I have it. I forgot because it was way back in my you could kind of make an argument.
Yeah. So, again, another sort of a sentimental one. But I loved this movie when it came out, and I loved the soundtrack. I'm a big Nelly guy because I have ears. And
Fact.
Sandler is not good in this movie. I mean, he's not bad. But, like, his character is, like, pretty boring. Paul Crewe.
I feel like you made these arguments earlier about like, the reasons they're Adam Sandler movies, and then you just totally discarded it with this one.
No, it's a feel to the movie. It's a feel to the movie. It's okay, still, okay, it's still okay, a goofy okay. movie. His character doesn't really have right. a plan to that. So, Chris Rock's very funny. Unlike Grown Ups, he's caretaker. It's not super duper quotable, but just you got Nelly playing a running back. You got Michael Irvin and Terry Crews at wide receiver. You got Tracy Morgan as a cheerleader, a transvestite cheerleader. Then on the bad guys, you got Brian Bosworth. You got Steve Austin. You got Bill Romanowski, all these dudes. Then you add in like Chris Berman and Jim Rome commentating the game. And I just love football movies. I love sports movies. I don't know. I've always loved this movie, and it's not that funny. Anyone who's seen the original Longest Yard has said that it's an abomination compared to the original with Burt really? Reynolds. But I don't care. It's going at 3 for me.
Okay. No quote. You said no quotes. I would say that.
The only quote is Brucey when he always drops the footballs. And he's like, I just had popcorn. That's the only one I got.
Why can't I play quarterback?
Yeah.
you forgot one of the best ones too.
Okay.
Can of corn. Can of corn, I'll be fine.
That is a great one. Fat Tony. Shout out Fat Tony.
The other thing I would say is that the first time I watched this movie, Caretaker's death was surprisingly emotional. Like they did a good job of setting it up.
It was very sad. I agree.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
I don't think it cracks my top 10, let alone my top 5, but
I don't think it cracks a lot of top 10s. But I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to give me a list. So,
hell yeah.
Okay, what do you got for... You got two now?
I'm at two. So this one you put way back. And I think I had mentioned this to you before that this was going to be really high on my list. The Wedding Singer is an incredible rom-com.
I need to watch it again. I'll say that.
Might be my favorite rom-com ever.
Okay.
So... Listening to Somebody Kill Me, Please got me through the entire Falcons Super Bowl loss. So there's that. Like I said earlier, I'm not a big Drew Barrymore fan, but she plays really well with Sandler. I think that they have a really good back and forth. I don't know. They must be like really good friends or something. Because is she in three Sandler movies as like the love interest?
What's the other one?
I can't remember. I just assume.
Well, I know of two. Oh, yeah, I think she might be in one of those rom-com ones. I don't know. Spanglish?
No, it's... Sorry, Blended.
I think. Blended, that's right, yeah.
Right, where they go to, like, Africa or something? Yeah, which was not mentioned.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Anyways, so her sister in this movie is Christina Taylor. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't think so.
Christina Taylor is Ben Stiller's wife, who is the love interest in Dodgeball.
Ah, yes, okay.
Very attractive.
Okay.
His buddy is, like, one of my favorite scenes. So there's that guy that's in all the Adam Sandler movies. He's kind of like the dipshit, one of the dipshit friends. He has, like, the three of them that kind of rotate through roles. Yeah. And one of the guys, he wears this Thriller jacket to the engagement party of Julia, and he just looks really fucking stupid, and I love that they leaned into like all the pop culture references.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the movie where Robbie tells Linda that she's gonna jinx Van Halen if she doesn't take off his Van Halen shirt, and they made this, it's like a tongue-in-cheek thing, because the year the movie is set in is when Van Halen broke up. And also, I have a note, or I did some half-assed research that Glenn Gulia, the villain, was originally written for Jim Carrey.
Wow.
What a different movie. Yeah.
Very different, yeah.
And then, so there's not as many quotes similar to your last one. One scene that really gets me is the transvestite in his band is really bad at singing, and he only sings one song, and it's Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, and he does this really awful rendition, but Robbie doesn't come back to stage, and so he just looks at the band and they just start singing it again, so they're just on this like terrible loop of this song that fucking sucks that everybody at the wedding hates. Really funny.
Okay.
And then one of my favorite quotes is from Billy Idol, and it's just him say, oh, no way. That's it.
Okay, good. I'm glad we put a couple not super quotable movies. We kind of had the same idea going.
I did also, the two songs in the movie, Grow Old With You and Somebody Kill Me Please, are phenomenal. That's it. Sorry.
Okay. I just need to watch it again. I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't know it very well. I think I'd probably like it. But I don't have a lot of comments on it. So, okay. All right. In the interest of this, I went back and forth on my one and two. I'm just going to say 1A and 1B because I like to cheat on these. So I'll give that's my 1B so that we can... Yeah. All right. Fine. Fine. I'll go... This is 2. Even though I wanted to make it 1, but we'll both just... I'll keep us with the same number 1 so we can talk about it last. So my 1A or 2... Or my 1B, whatever you want to call it, or 2, is The Waterboy.
Right.
I love The Waterboy. I just watched it the other day. Katie and I watched it. It is so funny. It starts out with him opening up a comment box at his water station, and there's a note that says, "Dear Waterboy, eat shit and kill yourself. Signed, everybody." So that's kind of how the movie starts out. So it starts off with a bang. It is Bobby Boucher is like. Similar to Happy Gilmore, it's got the sports movie feel to it, but it just also it has like legitimate football scenes in terms of like it actually feels like people are getting hit, unlike some movies. I mean, I know the plays are kind of goofy and how some of the people run isn't that great, but actually feels like he's hitting people, which is good.
It's decent action.
It's decent action. Yeah, it's fun. It's similar to like Happy Gilmore where like he hits the ball and it makes this ridiculous noise. It's like right. When he's running and hitting and stuff like that. So I'll just give my quotes real quick. Probably my favorite one is when he throws the ball to the wrong team and they run it back for the touchdown. And the quarterback comes up to him and says, "Nice job, shithead. You just lost us the game." And then he says, "I'm sorry. Will you please still be my friend?" And the guy says, "No, get away from me." I just love that so much.
Right before that is when he... This is one of my favorite subtle quotes. It's just... I say this a lot, and I usually just don't let people hear me because nobody would fucking get it. He just says, 62. He like, yeah, is like making a mental note of who the guy is that he has to drop kick.
That's also really very good.
Yeah. Go on.
I love the two fans that are always in the stands. The one guy says, "Bet you $50 a quarterback throws a touchdown pass on the first play. Check it out." And then and he throws a pick six and he's like, "He owe me $50."
"You said it was going to be a touchdown pass, asshole."
That's right. Thank you for finishing that. The Gatorade scene is great. Gatorade. Mm-hmm. One of the underrated quotes in the movie is from none other than Lawrence Taylor when he's at the camp for kids and Bobby like explains to the kids how to play the game of football basically, and Lawrence Taylor says, "Which brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack," which is a great line that you can use anytime.
Underrated when people talk about athletes making the transition to movies. They need to talk about that more. Very good. Very well done by Lawrence Taylor.
Shout out, Lawrence. Shout out to Lawrence. And then there's a million more quotes. The last one I'll say is Rob Schneider again when he says, "Oh, no, we suck again." That's the one that you can use quite often. So that's The Waterboy from me.
I love it. All those are good. This one was really close. This one I think I bumped out due to make 8 Crazy Nights my number 5.
Okay.
I thought about making 8 Crazy Nights just an honorable mention and then doing this one. Also love this movie. Vicky Valancourt is kind of like a weird addition. Not a weird addition. A different addition to his glossary of women that he's had in his movies. But definitely. It's a welcome difference, I feel like.
Yeah, they had to go with like an edgy girl. It had to be right. Something like that. They probably could have found a more higher profile star. But Kathy Bates as the mom is just, as Mama is amazing. So yeah, fantastic also, TV movie.
Very good TV movie. Thank you for reminding me. That was what I was going to say. One of my favorite parts about the movie on TV is that they change one of the taunting scenes to "needle neck, needle neck, needle neck."
Yes, that's true. Oh, what I noticed when I was watching the other day is the commentators are all super good. They have a ton of them. They have like Reese Davis and who's the other College Game Day guy that does one of the games that does the headgear? Lee Corso's in it.
Yeah.
They do a game, and then at the end it's Musburger and the other guy. And they're all really funny. They're all really good.
Don't they have Buck?
When they have like. I don't think Buck's in it. I don't think. I could be wrong.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
The other quote I would say is that just Captain Insano shows no mercy is also.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's right up there.
Yeah.
All right, so it looks like we're gonna go with a unanimous choice for the number one Adam Sandler movie of all time. What is it, Coin?
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I think you have to go with Happy Gilmore. It's incredible. It's quotable. It's rewatchable. It's the best one. If it's on TV, you're going to watch it. You're not going to not watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's on, just like even more so maybe than Waterboy or any other one, you can jump in whenever and you're just ready to go.
Yeah. Probably... This is peak Adam Sandler. It's just the right amount of like craziness, but also kind of staying. He's not as over the top as Billy Madison. I don't know how much else you want to mention about it. I wanted to do just some back and forth quoting and rapid fire in it.
Okay. So I did. I just had a couple notes. I'll just mention some stuff really quick. This is what I would say. I wouldn't say this is what carries the movie, but I think it is what makes it number one for me, is that it has an elite movie villain. Shooter McGavin is an incredible foil in a movie. He's so good. Christopher McDonald has basically made an entire second career out of this, like doing appearances and taking pictures with people as Shooter McGavin. I mean, honestly, Shooter probably deserves his own quote section. Like, you could do Happies and then Shooters also. And then... The other only other note I have is that I think that his first caddy, that really young kid that he thinks is stealing his bag, I think that kid looks like my brother when he had his hair bleached.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see him looking like Coin number one. Yeah, one.
Yeah, he's still number one.
One that is not a quote that I want to mention is one of the best parts of the movie is when he pulls the guy's shirt off and punches him in the face. That is just...
The hockey punch is amazing.
The best move... You'll ever do. So before... Yeah, okay, sorry, I have two more things. One, Kevin Nealon is fantastic. We'll probably have a couple of his quotes. I realize that he's like the exact same character in Grandma's Boy as the boss.
Yep.
I think that's a crossover universe. And then Virginia Vennett, who is the girl we talked about earlier, that actress's name is Julie Bowen. And what I didn't realize is... She is the mom on Modern Family, which is the show that you don't watch, but that I like.
Yep.
That we mentioned many pods ago. So, All right, let's go back and forth with Happy Gilmore quotes.
Okay.
You first.
Okay. You're going to die, clown.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Oh, you hit that guy.
I'll get you a warm glass of shut the hell up.
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
I was going to ask you, if there are two-part quotes, should we the other person say the response to the quote?
That's a good question. You can do that if you want.
If you do that, the other person has to finish it. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No. I forgot that was the second part. So the Kevin Nealon one is the harness energy block bad. It's really funny to me.
Yep. Is that goal regulation size or what?
Hey, you know want breakfast?
Oh, wow. You're digging deep for that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm in there.
One of the best. You will not make this putt, you jackass.
Mm-hmm. Step right up, folks. See if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
Go to sleep or I will put you to sleep. You're in my world now, Grandma.
It's all in the hips.
Chubs. Damn you people, go back to your shanties.
Oh, happy riding the bull? You look like a damn fool.
Oh, good. You can count. Good for you.
Oh, she got hit by a car. She's dead. Oh, did I need to finish a quote for you?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to finish that one.
What was it? Sorry.
said, oh, good, yours? You can count. Good for you. Said, and you can count on me. Oh, you can count on me. Waiting for you.
That's right. did you know that the Oshi got hit by a car one?
No, I didn't hear it.
She's like, oh, do you still have that girlfriend? Oh, she got hit by a car. She's dead.
Oh, yeah. She just says it's no nonchalantly.
Yeah, yeah.
How about, well, good for Happy Gilmo, my God.
You can't just take her stuff. She's too old.
Where were you on that one, dipshit?
Damn, that's it, you used that one a lot, too. I think it's slightly, or just downhill, and slightly to the left.
Ooh, am I supposed to finish that one?
Yeah. It just looks that way because you only have one shoe on.
Oh. I forgot about that one. There's, of course, probably the most famous one, go to your home ball. Right. And which I believe that one ends with the best line in the movie, which is, suck my white ass ball.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. That's pretty much all I've got. I have, though. What? Friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark?
Yep. And just tap it in. Give it a little tap-a-roo. There are probably two dozen other ones, but yeah, that's what I got as well. So I think that covered a lot of ground.
Oh, I do want to give a quick shout too, because I feel like people use this a lot. Shooter, we can go to Red Lobster, my treat.
That guy is so funny.
Yeah.
All right, number one Adam Sandler movie. There's the ranking. Please let us know how we did on our ranking. Real quick, just run through your top five, just so everybody remembers.
My top five are number five, 8 Crazy Nights. Number four, Big Daddy. Number three, Billy Madison. Number two, The Wedding Singer. And number one, Happy Gilmore.
And for me, I got number five, Big Daddy. Number four, 51st Dates. Number three, The Longest Yard. Number two, The Waterboy. And number one, Happy Gilmore. All right, we're running pretty long, so let's real quick just give out our divisional round picks. Who you got?
Okay. So Vikings at 49ers?
Yeah.
Is that first? So is that 7.5?
I got 7, but...
7?
Seven?
Okay.
7.5, yeah.
As good as the Vikings looked last week, I think their luck runs out a little bit against a frisky 49ers team. Kyle Shanahan ready to prove himself. I'm going to take the 49ers and the points here.
I am going to go the other way and say that if Kirky was able to go into New Orleans and beat Drew Brees, the pressure is lifted off of him. He's got no more pressure, and literally that team will go as he goes. They got just as much talent as San Francisco. I think it's whichever quarterback plays better. So I'm going to take the 7 points with Minnesota. I don't know if they win, but I think it's close.
Totally fair.
Titans at Ravens. Ravens -9.
I will take the Ravens -24. I think agree. That this team is that much better than the Titans. I don't think that this Titans team has been fun. Derrick Henry's been running hard. It's a cool story. Tannehill's been great. The Ravens are way better.
They're way better, and I don't bet against Lamar, so I'm taking -9 as well.
Right.
Next we got Texans at Chiefs. Chiefs are -9.5. Interesting that that's bigger line than the Titans.
I know. I'm kind of surprised. But also at the same time, not surprised. The Texans aren't good. So I also will be taking the Chiefs in the points. I don't like to take all the favorites in the points, but I'm going to do it. So
I agree with you here. I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes -9.5 at home and Andy Reid off a bye, essentially. My special prop is I'd like to bet the Honey Badger to come up with a pick.
Ah,
against you getting plus money there? Team. No idea. I haven't seen the odds. I don't even know if that'll be a prop. So worst case, I'll bet on Watson to throw a pick, which probably is like -120 or something. But I think it's good. I think he will.
Cool. Do you think that the Chiefs? Yeah. Do you think that the Chiefs were happy to see the Texans over? I guess they wouldn't have been playing the Bills. Oh, they would have been playing the Bills. Would you rather see the Texans or Bills?
I'd still rather see the Bills, just it's strictly because Deshaun's scary, even though the Bills' roster, I think, overall is better, but
Right.
Deshaun can make stuff happen. So
that's fair.
Lastly, we got Seattle Seahawks at Lambeau versus Rodgers and the Packers. It is Packers -4 is what I saw last, I believe.
Packers -4 is... This is a Packers team that's kind of been weird lately. I don't know, maybe they got healthy over the, with their break, but I like Russell with the points. Give me the 4. I'll take the Seahawks +4.
Yeah, I agree. I could see this NFC ending up weird because everybody kind of agrees that Packers aren't necessarily that great. And then you got, on the other side, you got San Francisco who's stacked, but do we know if Jimmy G is going to do well in the playoffs? No. So, like, could this be a weird year where a wild card, like, Russ leads a wild card and, you know, an overmatched wild card team to the Super Bowl? Yeah, it could happen. I don't know if they beat the Packers at Lambeau, but I'll take the points as well.
If the NFC Championship ends up being Seahawks and Vikings, that will be in Seattle. I might go to that game.
That would be sick. Would you root for Kirky?
I kind of want to.
That'd be pretty sick.
Maybe maybe you fly over for that one and we just go to that game.
All right, I'm in.
Okay.
I'll go.
All right.
All right, so then lastly, so we both have the heavy one, heavy AFC favorites, but then and we both have the Seahawks, but we're split on Vikings 49ers. So
yep.
Give since we both had the Saints win in the Super Bowl last week, let's revise our Super Bowl picks. Give me your new pick.
Okay. Are we doing the game, the whole game?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make my pick now. 49ers, Chiefs winning it.
All right, I'm going to go, since we both had the Chiefs in it, I'm also going to pick the Chiefs winning it. And I'm going to pick the Packers because Rodgers at home, and then I don't trust Garoppolo or Kirky. I know he hasn't been good, but it's my pick. So
I don't hate it. All right.
Okay. That was a good one. Cool. I enjoyed that pod a lot. We've been just creeping longer and longer. By 2021, we're going to have 3-hour podcasts. So.
Ask and you shall receive.
All right. It's been great. Follow us at Rookie Show Pod on Twitter.
You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter.
That's right. And you can follow me at Decream Fillin on Twitter. And follow me at C Travis Knoll on Instagram. Ooh. The C, of course, stands for cockroach.
Ah, yes, of course, Cockroach Knoll. That's what they call you.
All right. Papa Roach, play us out.
Oh, sick. Peace, everybody.
See ya. My scars remind me that the past is real. I tear my heart.